My next guest, Padraig Creddon, because we're here to talk about something that couldn't be further removed from Jelly Beans.
That's right.
That's why I was quite distracted. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Thanks for having me.
Very good to see you, and thanks for coming in to see us today. You work for the new Dublin offices of Finders International.
That's correct.
And we were intrigued by Finders International largely because it's like a bounty hunting. But in a very benign way. I don't want to make you sound like it looks like sort of financial mercenary.
Yeah.
So why don't you give us the rundown as to who and what you are and what you do?
Yeah, well, the company was founded in 1997 in London by managing director Daniel Curran. He's very much the go-to person in the UK for any genealogy issues among lawyers.
Irish guy?
Of Irish descent.
So we
have been operating over there since 1997. We decided, obviously, there's a high degree of emigration in Ireland, so Finders have been operating in Ireland regularly since then. So we decided it was time kind of to ramp up a little bit and open an office here.
To do what? What is your mission statement?
Well, essentially what we do is we are the people who knock on your door, just tell you, look, you're long lost, Uncle Billy has left you an inheritance.
Now,
so yeah,
the amount of times, I remember when I was younger, thinking, living in whatever place you were renting, you just go, wouldn't you love to have some distant relative who hopefully is unwell?
Yeah.
And will ultimately leave you a lot of money. You know the way you're that mercenary when you're younger.
Yeah.
Of course, unfortunately, it never happened, but you're the guys who have on your books that relative.
That's what we do. Yeah. Essentially, we work with lawyers who have run into difficulty when winding up an estate. They might have a will where there's a beneficiary named and they can't find them. Or they might have a situation where a lawyer has referred a case and you have somebody who's passed away intestate without having made a will and they've known next of kin. So we would trace down the beneficiary or the next of kin and basically approach them and tell them they're due to inherit a sum of money.
I remember years ago on my holidays in the west of Ireland, and there was a field, like John B. Keane job, and somebody wanted to buy the field, but they couldn't because no one knew actually who owned it.
Yeah.
And yet you couldn't buy it, so the council or whoever it was, clearly somebody had emigrated.
Yeah.
And this country, with its millions, who had, particularly during the famine, a million plus who left the land, and might have had a bit of land. All this, it's a very complicated country. In other words, you have probably are very busy with this little island.
We are very busy. In fact, so busy we have published a website called unclaimedestates.ie, and on there we have details of over 500 unclaimed estates in the UK of people that were of Irish origin. So we would urge your listeners to go on there to unclaimedestates.ie, check out the names, put your name in or your relatives' names and see, can you see anything there that might actually be able to link you with that estate, and we might be able to help you if anybody thinks that they're due an inheritance there. We'd be happy to chat to them.
And have you knock on a door, made a phone call to somebody and said, you've just come in for a windfall from somebody you have no idea ever existed? I mean, is it that?
It's as simple as that, yeah.
Really?
Personally, I haven't done it.
No, but
we've had research here, and we've researchers here that have done it on numerous occasions. As you can imagine, there's a high degree of emigration, as you say, in Ireland. People have gone to the UK, to Australia. We deal with American firms as well who have people over there that are trying to trace ancestors back here, who are due money. So, yeah, you would think it's very rare, but it's more common than you would think.
So much so that you're making a business
out of it.
And how does the process work? So somebody, sadly, obviously dies.
Yeah.
A will comes out and a lawyer says, I don't know who these people are, I can't find them.
Yeah.
They call you?
They call us.
Great.
And basically we have a team of about 25 full-time researchers in our head office in London. We have Irish researchers as well. We have guys out on the road who literally knock on doors. Most of them would be retired policemen who are trained in delivering a death message, which very often they have to do. It can be very...
What does that mean?
It means they've obviously got to tell somebody, look, a relation of yours has passed away, but you're due to inherit some money. So
could you imagine the flicker in the eyes of sadness and joy?
Yeah, it is. It's a bittersweet moment, it has to be said.
The reason I'm being facetious or at least glib about it is that the chances are the person who opens the door to the death messenger will have never heard of this relative, or will have no sense of sort of emotional attachment. So that's why I'm kind of, it's not like you're somebody up the road who's passed away.
Absolutely. And they would be dubious, I suppose.
Yes, indeed.
They would be dubious now, but we feature on the BBC programme Air Hunter strongly. They're one of the main firms out there. Okay. So our name is kind of out there a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, if they've any issues and don't believe who we are, we get them to take a reference from lawyers that we would deal with either in London or Dublin.
Okay, because it's like the physical manifestation of the Irish. You are an African prince. You just won the lottery.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, other things to take into consideration is when, because it does sound like a financial version of Who Do You Think You Are with the jackpot, like the national lottery meets Who Do You Think You Are.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's a commercial exercise for us. We do a lot of work on spec, so there are certain times where we take on a case, and at the end of it, there mightn't be any money. But other times there would be, you know, obviously what we do is we agree, a commission fee with each individual heir when we find them. So if a lawyer sends us out to find somebody, we would agree a commission, fee arrangement with them. It's out of the net settlement of their, inheritance.
So how do you agree?
It's a legal contract, yeah.
But how do you agree a settlement if there's no money?
Well.
Or is there always money?
Well, more times than not, there would be money, yeah. But in England, for example, the Treasury solicitor releases a list almost daily, and all we know is that the value of the estates is over £500.
Yeah,
that's all we know. So, you know, we can guess that there's some an inheritance there that's worth pursuing for everybody involved. But in the Irish cases, generally, we would know the value of the estates.
Can you give us an example of an Irish case?
I can. We have a very interesting case, a lady called Kathleen Hilda Ryan. This is a high-value case. It's worth almost €700,000. So this is a lady that is of Irish descent, died in Bermondsey in the UK in 2013, aged 81. This was released by the Treasury solicitor over there. And she died intestate. She never made a will. She didn't marry. She'd no children. And at the time of her death, she had no living siblings either. So she inherited her fortune from her sister Joan. Her father was a John Joseph Ryan, born in Mullingar and died in 1971. So the rest of the family have died out. And the only possibility we have of finding an heir to this fortune is through one of John Ryan's sisters, a lady named Elizabeth Ryan, also known as Eliza or Lizzie. We've no birth certificate for her. All we have is a baptism certificate from 1878.
Good Lord.
And the records show that she never married, but we believe she may have gone to the US. We're following a line of inquiry there. But basically, if there's anybody listening who thinks that their mother or their grandmother was an Eliza or Lizzie Ryan, they could be due to inherit a lot of money.
It could be due to an heir,
€700,000. Yeah, or it could obviously be distributed out between several heirs, depending on.
Yeah, or the listen, it's a row waiting to happen either way.
Yeah, but absolutely.
It's a question of finding the nearest blood relative. Would that be the way to say
it? It would be. If she married, obviously the name would be different. It wouldn't be Ryan anymore.
Complicated
things. The kids, yeah. So it's tricky. We're kind of stumped with this one, so we'd be anxious to hear from anybody who might have any information.
But if Kathleen Hilda Ryan died in 2013 at the age of 81, which is only 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You would think it can't, like, it's not like a famine, you know.
No, I know.
Genealogical search, and yet you're stumped on this.
Yeah, generally, you know, within a month, we'd like to think we can solve these cases. Yeah, that soon. But some of them obviously drag on. Sometimes you just hit a brick wall.
Yeah. And are your guys and the researchers, would they be almost archivist history buffs?
Yeah, a lot of them would have history degrees, law degrees. You know, they have a keen interest in this. We take on interns and train them up through the ranks. So,
you know,
it's genealogy. It's in itself is a skill in itself.
Intriguing job.
Fascinating.
Who was Marty Curran?
Marty Curran. This is an interesting story, actually. Now, it's not a high value estate.
Yeah.
But it's interesting in that there's a celebrity connection to it.
Okay.
The Curran family from Ballina. So Marty Curran died in Birmingham in 2012. He never married or had children himself. Same thing, he died intestate, having made no will. He'd five siblings. We traced two of those to the UK, one to the US, and one sister her whereabouts remain unknown. But very interestingly, one of the brothers was a guard in County Monaghan, and he married a singer who sang with a show band called the Jack Ruan Show Band, which before our time, right?
Unfortunately, it is, but there will be people listening who probably go
dance to the Jack Ruan.
Knew them well,
show.
Yeah.
So, and Even furthermore, she had a son prior to getting married who she gave him up for adoption, and he went on to become a session musician with pop band Level 42. So
now we're talking. Now we're back to our generation.
Yeah, yeah. So it just
Level 42, Running in the Family was
exactly,
their song. The irony of that.
A song about family trees.
Isn't
so
that funny?
There you go. So it just goes to show how fascinating this industry is, and you know, it's history comes to life, really.
You mentioned in a minute ago, Porter, that money isn't always the option. And now, you know, there was a... I know that there was a lady living in London who was homeless, is that right? She'd lived in a car and so on.
That's right, yeah. That was a very interesting case. Her name was Anne Naismith.
Right.
And
unusual name.
Yeah, this was referred to us by a council in the UK, Hounslow Council. And effectively, we do a lot of work for the councils free of charge. So this was a lady who lived on the street. She was very colourful character. She was known for her skills as a concert pianist.
Right.
And her father, I think, was a concert pianist as well. But she lived out of a disused car. And she had no known next of kin when she died. So the council approached us and asked us to try and find somebody in time for her funeral. So we managed to trace a lot of extended family who weren't next of kin but in-laws. It ended up there were a couple of hundred people at her funeral. So, you know, that was a nice ending to what could have been, I suppose, a sad ending for a lady that would have been on her own. But we were able to round up a huge crowd for her funeral.
Nothing to do with money, but everything to do with dignity.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's a lovely story. Yeah, yeah. And before we say goodbye, I do want to share this. I'd like you to share the story about Frederick O'Donnell and his brother Jimmy.
Yeah, this is a story now that I picked up on myself in the paper a couple of weeks back. So Jimmy O'Donnell... It was his niece, Theresa Wardy. She's living in the UK, but she's looking for her uncle, Jimmy O'Donnell. So Theresa's father, Frederick, only realised 2 years ago that he had a brother. It was a typical laundries case, case.
Yeah.
So I'll just give you some details because, again, there could be some listeners out there that might help here. So Jimmy O'Donnell was born in the Bethany Mother and Baby Home in Dublin, and when he was 3 years old, he was sent to Avoca Manor in County Wicklow.
Mm-hmm.
He left there age 16 in 1951, and he made contact in 2009 with the Department of Social Protection in Dublin Road, Carrick and Shannon, County Leitrim. Now, we've written to them, unfortunately, due to data protection, all they'll do is forward our letter to an address they have for him.
All right.
But Theresa, his niece, has already done that and she's heard nothing back. So if anybody has any information on a Jimmy O'Donnell born 4th of June 1939, we're told he could be in Manchester. We're still trying to trace him down.
Okay.
For his brother Frederick and his niece.
It's funny, all these guys that were born in a certain era and may have be coming from a certain, wherever they're coming from, no Facebook, no Twitter, no, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Your job will be considerably easier in 20 years' time.
Well, yeah.
Arguably.
Yeah. You know? Absolutely, yeah.
But certainly things are different. But that's what makes your job more interesting, I think, for that reason. Findersinternational.ie, but it's unclaimedestates.ie is the one that people will be interested in. To see if they tap in their name.
That's right. Yes. There's a search engine in there. Put your name in.
Who knows?
Get in touch or through our website.
Who knows? Unclaimedestates.ie. Porrick, it's an intriguing story, and I think one that if anyone should, the air hunters, there's an Irish program in it, I think, for television. I mean, if somebody had the wherewithal, it would.
Well, maybe we'll get the knock on the door.
Maybe for a change.
Maybe we will.
Let me tell you, don't expect any money for it.
Yeah.
All right, it's been good to talk to you, Porrick Grennan, and thanks for coming in to see us. And thanks for the jelly beans. Is that part of your thing?
Well, we're thinking of branching into the sweet production thing, especially for you.
It's all the rage.
Especially for you.
Thanks, Porrick. Nice to meet you.
Thank you.